first reading this morning is from the book of Matthew. Listen what the sprite is saying. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great it was its fall. Now that when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Hear what Sprite is saying.
This is our stewardship season, and we've been having some stewardship witnesses, and I'd like to invite Dan and Mariana Vock to come and share. Dan is the chair of our church board, of the foundry board, and we appreciate his leadership and Mariana's enthusiastic involvement in our life as a congregation. So.
Good morning. So as you know, my name is Dan Vock. I am president of the management board, and this is my lovely wife, Mariana. We want to share with you how we have seen God work in our lives because of what happens here at Foundry. But first of all, you should know, Foundry has played a very big part in our relationship. We first said we loved each other in front of the Christmas tree over there.
Our families first met when I was baptized here.
We learned a lot about love and each other at Pre-Cana weekend.
And we were married in the sanctuary in June on Pride Day.
But we came here from very different places. I was a cradle Methodist, acolyte, confirmand, the whole bit, looking for an inspirational, traditional worship. So when I walked out of a service here, I would hum the hymns and the choir pieces all the way home. I still do. What really changed me, though, were the opportunities to love our neighbors. I quickly became involved teaching English through our ESL program. It is such a thrilling and rewarding experience to make friends, relying on nothing but exaggerated body language, clipped phrases, and a lot of laughter. It taught me to remember that love is universal. It didn't matter if I was in a colonia in Mexico talking to teenagers about Michael Jackson, or if I was chatting with patients at Christ House about football, or if I was joking with fellow Foundry volunteers while unloading a semi full of potatoes. Foundry has taught me that love can make any place, no matter how foreign, feel like home.
My experience is a little bit different than Dan's. Like a lot of people, I had some bad experiences with church and religion before I came to Foundry. They were so bad, I had decided that church and God were not for me. But Foundry has allowed me to feel and experience love again. People here do good things. They help each other, they care for strangers, and expend their own time and energy to try and make our community a better place. And I've learned that Foundry is full of good people, where once I thought the world was full of bad people. I listened to the sermons here, and I saw the good work here. The more I heard and saw, the more I felt like I found a God I'd never heard before. A God who is tolerant and loving and forgiving. I felt like I had found a home.
So, this stewardship season, we asked ourselves what we could do to make sure that Foundry continues to be the type of place where people of all walks of life can call home.
As new homeowners, we know creating a loving home takes a lot of time, work, and yes, even money. But it was worth it.
This year has brought us many blessings, including the support of this great community here. So we decided to step up our giving to Foundry. It will be a challenge, but we believe that greater giving will allow God's love to grow in our lives, both by supporting this caring community and by making us more generous in our daily lives. Thank you.
Let's take a moment to pray for one another. Be aware of the people sitting, the person sitting closest to you on your right and on your left, and let us pray. Please bow your heads, and the person sitting on your left may be someone you know well. It may be someone who's a stranger. Let the Spirit guide you now in a moment of silence as you pray for them according to what the Spirit puts into your mind. Now take a moment to pray for the person sitting on your right as you are guided to pray by God's Spirit. And now take a moment to pray for yourself for the greatest place of thanksgiving and of need in your life. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So if you prayed for someone this morning that you don't know, be sure to introduce yourself to them after the service so that you might want to continue to keep them in your prayers in the next few days. If it's someone you know or someone you don't know and you're moved to do so, you might share with them how the Spirit guided you to pray when you were praying for them. As long as it's encouraging, as long as the Spirit guided you with a prayer that was encouraging, why don't you take the risk of sharing how the Spirit led you to pray for the person sitting next to you after the service? So we're an outward-focused church. Mostly, we talk about our spiritual lives together. And we talk about our mission and ministry and God's call to us to be engaged in the world. Once a year on a Sunday during our stewardship season, a Sunday we call State of the Church Sunday, we look at our life together as an organization. We look at our life organizationally, and today is that Sunday. So during this sermon time this morning, we want to do three things. I wanted to focus this year for a few minutes on your Foundry Church's, your reach beyond our doors and beyond ourselves. I think sometimes we're not aware of how Foundry reaches into the world. So we're going to talk this morning with three people, one of whom is a family that used to be involved here at Foundry and who are now living in London. And we're going to talk to someone who's only been here once, but for whom our ministry has been important, for whom you've been important as a congregation. And then we're going to talk to one of our members about how Foundry reaches from generation to generation. After we've done that, I'm actually going to help look at some hard numbers with you. And then I'm going to talk about the year ahead. So Pastor Dawn is going to do some of the conversations this morning that help us think about how we as a congregation reach beyond ourselves in our congregational lives.
Thank you, Pastor Dean. Friends, we're first going to talk to Kara Crumpler. Kara and Randy, do we know the Crumplers here? They have two kids, 7 and 3, Randy and Owen. Henry and Owen. And they have been away from us for a few months now, working in London. So, Kara, are you here with us?
I am here.
Excellent. We are glad that you're back with us. So first, tell us, you've been away from Foundry for a few months now. What have you missing about Foundry, and how is Foundry supporting you even now while you are away?
Oh, gosh, the list of things that we miss about Foundry is too long to mention. But it's just the fellowship with all of you and the social community there. Certainly the religious education, the robust children's ministry. Those are things that as we look for a church home here in London, we're realizing just how special those are at Foundry. and we're looking to find the same sort of church home here, but we haven't found it yet.
So how are you settling in, you and Randy and the kids?
Right. Well, you know, we're still settling. It's a transition for sure. The children are in school. They're age 4 and 7. And Randy and I are at work, of course. So we're enjoying life here so far, certainly.
Tell us how you plan on continuing to support and be connected here at Foundry until you're able to come back.
Well, obviously, we're going to continue our financial ties and offerings. It's important for us and a priority for our family. But, you know, the electronic media makes it so easy to still be connected to our Foundry Church family. Our website's terrific and keeps us up to date on what you all are doing there. We continue to get emails from members of the congregation with well wishes and prayers. And the newsletters that come from Foundry every week definitely keep us in the know about what's going on. And we really appreciate staying connected and remaining connected to Foundry.
We also know that over the course of the past several months, Pastor Teresa has done a good job staying in touch with you and your family, sending resources. Has that been helpful for you?
Oh, my goodness. Pastor T and Miss Bay have been terrific. And they sent the children a bunch of the Sunday school lessons, and the kids just love that. And, of course, we get little notes from Miss Bay from time to time. She's a member of our Centerfly site, so she gets to see what we're up to. And, you know, our boys just love her so much, and it's been great staying connected to her.
Well, thank you so much. We look forward to the time that we're able to see you all again here among us at Foundry, but until that time, we pray God's blessings upon you and Randy and Henry and Owen. Friends, would you give thanks to God for the Crumplers?
Thanks,
Don. We're going to transition now to talk with Teresa Williams. And let me just tell you a little bit more about her. Teresa found her way to Foundry via a friend among us here, and she'll tell you who that person is. And we understand she's in Indianapolis, and we understand that she's been listening to Pastor Ding's podcast over the past year and then actually made her way here to Foundry because she wanted to come and physically to be among us at least one time. And she has now turned on lots of friends in the Indianapolis area to Pastor Ding's podcast and to what we're able to offer here at Foundry. Teresa, are you with us?
I am.
It was good to hear from you again, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm having a little hard time hearing you.
Okay, let me see if I can get a little closer and talk a little louder. I don't normally have that problem. Teresa, tell us, how did you learn about Foundry?
Well, I think it was a godsend how I learned about Foundry. I think you may have said I live in Indianapolis. I'm an attorney, and I've been going through a pretty difficult transition in my life this past several months, and I became aware of another Indianapolis attorney that was in Washington, D.C., just through an odd set of circumstances, and I came to think that he might be able to offer me some advice, even though I didn't know him and he didn't know me. And I couldn't get that thought out of my mind, so I looked up his number on his law firm's website, and I called him. And he's a member of your church. And I said, you know, you don't know me, give me 5 minutes before you hang up. And he did. He gave me a lot more than that. And he told me he was the right guy to call, and wasn't even surprised by a phone call like that. And in the personal conversation, he told me about his wonderful church and about his pastor, Dean Snyder, who he said is a saint. And that very much interested me. And I got on the website and started listening to your podcast.
Good. So the person that had contacted you was Charlie, right?
It was Charlie. Yes, it was.
Yeah, Charlie Richardson, wonderful. We're glad about that. So I mentioned to our congregation here that you've listened to podcasts. You've also sent us emails saying how we've been supportive to you. You visited here once. When we had a conversation the other day, you talked about Foundry being an important part of your faith formation now. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I'd love to. I was raised in the church, my whole life. But I was raised in a very conservative, fundamentalist church. And the changes that have happened in my life in the past several months have pretty much set me at odds with my family and friends in that church. And it's been really difficult. And so the message that I have heard the last 4 or 5 months at Foundry has been so different. It's set me free. It's been liberating. You know, as you all know, it's a message of love and God's grace and a spiritual journey. And for years, I've listened to imported books in my car every day. And this year, I've listened to Foundry podcast every day. I think I've been through about the last 2 years of messages. And it has just been a lifeline for where I am in my life right now.
We thank you for that. Foundry is a loving place, and one of the messages that we send out beyond our community here is that wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are always welcomed here. Let me just share with the friends another part of our conversation. When I talked with Teresa earlier, a couple of days ago, I said, Teresa, anytime you're back in the Washington, D.C. area, know that Foundry is your home church. And she corrected me and said, no, Foundry is my home church now. And so we are grateful for that. Teresa, you shared that you wanted to continue to try to support Foundry in a different way. Can you share with us how you're going to do that?
Sure. Foundry has been such a life changer for me, and I want to support your ministries. I intend to make a pledge and be a part of your ongoing ministry. It's from afar at the moment, but I want to be a part of it financially.
Well, we're always grateful for that. Please give our love and blessings to Barbara. And friends, would you thank God for the witness of Teresa? Friends, we now invite Carrie Kidwell-Slack to come forward, and she is going to share a little bit here. Many of us know and love Carrie and her family. She is part of three generations, her young daughter, Anne, who is three, just a cutie, and then her mom, Dwayne, and then she has other families that are here. Carrie, you're part of a three-generation family that calls Foundry your spiritual home. Tell us when you started coming to Foundry and how that has impacted you and your family.
Sure. I started coming to Foundry in the fall of 2001, so about 6 months before Dean became senior pastor here. First, it was just me. I come back to D.C. after college from a very strong campus ministry, and so it was really important for me to find a spiritual home in the city. I met the man who would become my husband a couple years later, and he definitely felt that this was home for him, too. So Dean celebrated our wedding in 2005. In 2008, our dog joined our family at a Foundry retreat, so he adopted us that way. In 2010, our daughter was born and baptized here. And then in 2011, my parents were starting to seek out a new spiritual home, someplace that they felt that they would be welcomed and part of challenging study and really intellectually and engaged. And they thought Foundry was that place, so they come in from Silver Spring now too. So usually at the 9:30 service, you can see a whole pew of us sitting here on Sunday mornings.
So we know Anne participates in our children's ministry and loves that because she lets us know. And also, your mom is a strong volunteer. She comes throughout the week helping to sort clothes and then also working with some administrative things. And friends, I think you've heard us say this before, but I just want to make sure that we all know. Carrie serves us as our lay leader for the Greater Washington District. And so thank you for your service there. Carrie, it's going to be hard to pare it down, but if you can, tell us maybe one or two things that's most important about Foundry to you and your family.
I think for me and my family, it's just wherever we've been on our journeys and whatever our needs have been, we found a place to get support and intersection here at Foundry. Before starting our family, I was thinking about changing my career And I found a vocational support, discernment support group here at Foundry to talk about that, and did. Went from being an engineer to working in education now, and found that support here in the community. With my mom being retired, she's looking for a place to kind of use the organizational skills she developed over years of work, and she can do that here in the office and feel like she's valued and using the skills that God gave her. So we just always feel that whatever's going on, Foundry has something that works for us.
So we're leading into our bicentennial. We start kicking that off next year. Talk with us a little bit about the importance of having a generational family worship experience here.
I think for me, I feel very fortunate that I have a biological family that is close geographically and close in terms of our love and support for one another. But I think there's a broader definition of family than that we see here at Foundry. And so I would just encourage people to look around and kind of open yourself up and make yourself vulnerable to relationships here at Foundry, because wherever you are, there's probably someone down the pew from you who's dealing with a similar issue or has been through that. They might not look like you, they might not be the same age as you or it's from the same place as you, but they can give you support and show the love of Christ that way.
Friends, would you give thanks to God for Carrie and her family and their witness?
And thanks to Dawn for talking to just a couple examples of people whom you reach. I get to hear all the time from people who were part of our congregation for a number of years when they were in Washington and who are now all over the world. And they tell me over and over again how important your ministry as a congregation has been to them when they were here. And now, as they're serving in other places, I get to hear from people who've never stepped inside of this church, but who have said that your life as a congregation, your witness, has changed their lives. And I get to have the privilege of knowing how your ministry as a congregation reaches from generation to generation and impacts families throughout all the world and especially throughout the nation. So I want to celebrate that about you, Foundry Church. I want to take a couple minutes as part of this State of the Church sermon to actually talk about some numbers. So if you would turn in your program toward the back, you will find two pages. At the top of one page, it says average worship attendance. At the top of the other page, it says Foundry Church attendance and generosity trends. And then it also says looking forward. I don't know that I've ever actually looked at hard numbers in a sermon before. So we want to do it for just a few minutes this morning, hopefully without boring those of you who don't like numbers, but hopefully intriguing those of you who do. So I want to look at the last 5 years, beginning in 2008 at Foundry. If you look at our worship attendance, you'll see that in 2008, we began a growth spurt at Foundry in terms of the average attendance during our worship services. From 2008 to 2011, we grew from 517 people on an average Sunday to 641. It was vital and exciting times. And then last year in 2012, for the first time in 5 years, our attendance dropped slightly by something like around 20 people a Sunday. We don't know what our attendance will be at the end of the year this year, but year to date, we're running slightly behind our average attendance in 2012. Now, there may be a number of reasons for this. One of my friends, who's a church statistics geek, tells me that he was studying the largest churches of the Baltimore-Washington Conference of the United Methodist Church, and he discovered that there was only one church in our entire conference among the larger churches that actually increased in attendance last year. Something's going on so that a number of larger churches have experienced an attendance decline during the last year, One of the things that people are reporting is that Methodists apparently within the Washington area are tending to not attend as many Sundays a month as we used to. Maybe this is because many of our congregations are becoming older. People travel more, they're away more. It used to be that in many Methodist churches, a lot of people attended every Sunday, and then people tended to begin attending three Sundays out of a month. And some congregations are reporting that now it's not unusual for their active members to be at church only two Sundays a month. So we don't know whether the attendance drop reflects actually a decrease in the number of people involved in the life of the congregation, or whether it reflects a increasingly diverse traveling congregation who's less likely to be there on any particular Sunday. What I do know is that being present with each other in community is very, very important. And reaching new people and bringing them in so that a congregation grows is very, very important. And I know that the way that most people become connected with a congregation is not because of the pastor, not even because of the choir. They might come to a church initially to hear the music or to hear a sermon, but they don't stay because of the music or a sermon. They stay because they build relationships within the congregation. So I believe it's important that Foundry Church continue to reach new people as people travel, leave, move to other parts of the world. They still remain connected with us, but we need to be inclusive of people who are not inside of our doors yet. And that happens because we invite people to church, and it happens because when they get here, they find friends. People stay because they find friends. And so we need you to be the kind of congregation that is welcoming to new people and who helps people become involved, find a way to serve, to be engaged, and also where we are friendly enough to reach out and connect with other people. I keep trying to give us hints of how we can do this. Get to know somebody before worship. Get to know somebody after worship. Pray for one another. Take each other out to lunch. Find somebody in the congregation who's new, and if they're open to it, invite them to coffee or tea or lunch. Get to know them, and that's the way congregations continue to reach new people and help. We have something here at Foundry, you have something here at Foundry, that can profoundly enrich people's lives. And they'll find it because you tell them about it and because you welcome them when they come. I want to talk about numbers around money for just a moment. If you look at this chart, you can look at the bar chart, generosity at Foundry, but I'd like you to look at the actual numbers over the last 5 years. You'll see three columns. The third column, this is on the second page, says operating fund budget. Nod your head if you found it. Operating fund budget. You'll notice that our operating fund budget over the last 5 years has been steadily increasing. If you go to 2010, you'll see our operating fund budget in 2010 was $1.8 million. In 2011, it was what? 1.9, is that what everyone said? And then in 2012, it was? Now, I'd like you to go to the next column, which is our giving to support our operating budget. In 2010, it was 1.8. In 2011, when our operating budget went to 1.9, our giving to support our operating budget was what? 1.8. In 2012, when our operating budget went to 2.0 million, our giving to support our operating budget was what? I gotta say, first of all, that I don't understand Washington economics. Many of you do. I'm not good at it. And the second thing is that I need to confess is that I grew up with Pennsylvania Dutch parents. And my Pennsylvania Dutch parents told me that it's not a good idea to live beyond your means. So that when money decreased, our goal was that spending would not continue to rise. And so what I want to say is that even though our giving as a congregation has really gone up because we've had a capital campaign, and if you look at the purple line in the bar chart to the left, or if you look at the total giving, you'll see that the total giving is really increasing significantly because of our capital campaign, and the work to improve our building is critical for the future. But we have needed to exercise restraint on our spending, as you'll see in the 2013 budget, because our giving for the operating budget has not been supporting the increases in the spending in the operating budget over the last 3 years. Don't mind a shortfall 1 year, but when it becomes a trend, we need to wrestle and address it. And what I'm asking you, what we're asking you this year, is to consider the possibility of increasing your support of the operating budget so that we can once again begin to expand our regular ministries in addition to the work we'll do on the building through the capital campaign. So we have four emphases that we want to develop in the year ahead. We will continue to focus on ending homelessness, ending chronic homelessness. We'll continue to focus on ending discrimination in the United Methodist Church and the Christian Church and religions against gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and queer persons. We will continue to work to end the cradle-to-prison pipeline, which ends up with one out of three African-American boys spending time in prison during their lifetime unless we change the trend. We'll continue. Those are core missional outreaches of social justice and social change for Foundry. But we have four emphases that we want to be able to support and fund and do in the year ahead. One is in the area of social justice, we want to develop a mission and ministry and relationship in Africa. We have in the past had relationships in Liberia and Zimbabwe, but over the past years we've not been connected with and working in Africa. We think it's time that we begin to invest in developing relationships in Africa again. And so we have a team of people who are studying and working with friends within the denomination to say where in Africa would be the best point at this time in history for us to begin to developing friendships and beginning to invest in the church in Africa. And then we have three foundational emphases that we want to work on in the year ahead. One is continuing to strengthen the spiritual depth and transcendent nature of our worship. Another one is to strengthen the relationships between us through an increase in social sharing and being together and sort of having opportunities for us to just get to know each other better as friends. And the fourth one is to strengthen Bible study within our congregation, especially adult Bible study. We want to bring some of the strongest professors and Bible teachers in the Washington, D.C. area and even nationally here to teach and to encourage all of us to spend more time in Bible study, and I'll tell you why. Our vitality as a congregation is dependent upon the firmness of our foundation. Jesus says in his parable that we heard today read so well, Jesus says that your house will only be as strong as the foundation it's built on. And the foundation, he says, that it's built on is his teaching, Jesus' teaching. We want to spend more time focusing on being grounded in and being strengthened by the foundation for our building of Jesus' teachings. When I look at these numbers, my conclusion is that Foundry has done best in every aspect of our life when we've been boldest. In 2008, when we started doing ceremonies to honor gay and lesbian committed relationships, in 2008, when we made a commitment to help end chronic homelessness in Washington, D.C., in 2010, when we started to address the cradle-to-prison pipeline, when we've been boldest, we've been strongest. And I think that we've been boldest when we have been, when our foundation has been most solidly built on the teachings of Jesus. The more Bible study we've done, the bolder we've become. So that I think vital worship and continual transcendent worship and challenging study through Bible study are critically important for us to continue to have a strong foundation. So yesterday, in a church in Philadelphia where I was once the pastor, more than 50 pastors conducted the wedding of two men who joined the church when I was pastor there years and years ago. And it was an act of 50-some clergy to say, we believe that all people should be able to be married in our churches. Monday a week in eastern Pennsylvania, the trial of Reverend Frank Schaefer begins. Frank is being tried because he conducted the wedding, the same-sex wedding of his son, 6 years ago. We are right now at a time when five potential trials of clergy for doing same-sex weddings are in process. This is a time when Foundry's witness needs to be very, very strong. We are entering a time in the history of Methodism and the history of Christianity when Foundry's witness needs to be very, very strong. Throughout the years, people used to say, well, the reconciling congregations, the inclusive congregations, the congregations concerned about justice and inclusion for everyone, they're all small congregations. And they're all dying congregations. But there was always Foundry Church that proved that that was not the truth. We've been vital. We've been strong in our conviction that God wants everyone included and all loving and committed relationships honored. We've been strong in our convictions. We've been strong in our actions. And we've been a vital, growing congregation. So in the year ahead, this is an especially important time for Foundry Church to be strong and vital. So I want to encourage you to be here every Sunday you're in town. Being here, being in a pew, talking to others, sharing with others. This is a very, very important thing. So I want to ask you in the year ahead to be here every Sunday morning that you are in town. I want to ask you to be friends with one another. What was it, Teresa, that someone said they liked about Foundry? We are what? We are peaceful and loving. So I want to ask you to be peaceful and loving with one another. Even when you disagree with one another, do it in a peaceful and loving way. Be peaceful and loving with one another, and then I'm going to ask you to increase your financial support for Foundry's mission and ministry. Inside your program, if you flip to the last page, you'll see a steps of giving chart. Our invitation this year is that everyone consider growing a step. If you're not yet pledging to Foundry, please take a look at the column on the very left, yearly income. Project what you believe your income will be for the year ahead, and then pick a level of giving to the right that you would like to start at, and then make your pledge. If you are already pledging to Foundry, we'd like to invite you to consider moving up a step in your proportional giving. So use this resource in the pews, and you may have received one in a letter, is an estimate of giving card. That's what we use as a pledge card. There's also brochures and pledge cards upstairs in Fellowship Hall, which we'd like to invite you to take a look at. And you can also make your commitment on the website. So this is our prayer for you, Foundry Church. Continue to love God. Continue to love one another. Continue to be generous and bold in changing the world. Let us pray. And thanks for all your gifts, O God. We ask that you might use us for the sake of the kingdom of love, inclusion, grace and justice that you are creating in our world. We pause for just a moment to think of the people of the Philippines and now Vietnam. We ask that you might be at work in amazing ways, including through the United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR, and all of those who serve to make a difference there. We ask you that you would use us, that you would continue to use us. Do not cast us away from your presence, but use us to be a bold witness to the world. Amen.